It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers on the 10 Talk Radio Network with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers, on the show where you can find help and hope. And with us, we have our most awesome producer today, Mr. Vaughn.
Hey, hey, ladies. How are you doing today?
We're doing great. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Beautiful day here in Tampa Bay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's getting colder a little bit. I like that.
Yeah, a little bit's all right. And you know who just said, eh? That's my best friend, co-host, and sidekick, not psychic, Lynn Thornley.
Hi, Lenny. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
We had a good week today, this week.
Did we?
We had a busy day yesterday.
I know what happened.
Yesterday, I got to be on Fox News. Woo-hoo. To talk about caregiving. And you know, caregivers, how excited it is. Anywhere that I can get out to talk about caregivers and I have the opportunity to get information to caregivers just delights me more than anything.
And it was fabulous.
Yeah.
It was really good.
And the fact that they, you know, want me on again, that's very, very exciting. So I'm really happy about that. We also have some special guests here today. One is going to be Dr. LaJoyce Brookshire. She's going to be calling in. She says she's God's girl. She's a New York Times bestselling author, a doctor of naturopathy, and a whole bunch of other stuff. So we're going to talk to her when she calls in.
Interesting. Fun.
Very interesting. And we also, now Felicia, I didn't ask you before the show because I just call you Felicia. It's Sabartinelli.
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 Yeah.
Well, Italian?
The long Italian name.
Yeah.
And yeah, Felicia's from Seasons Hospice, so we're going to talk a little bit about that. The new hospice in town.
Yeah.
That's all, it's all good. I want to say a shout out to our newest listeners. We have Desiree in St. Pete.
Welcome.
We have Nelson in Tampa. Mm. And we have Wendy in Indian Rocks Beach. You know what I tell you guys, there's always more room for people on Connecting Caregivers Radio. Doesn't
we're
cost
not
you
full
any money.
Yet?
No, we're not full yet. Okay. We're never going to be full. We might be full. No.
Yeah.
But no, we're never full. So you can tune in on Saturday at noon, or you can go to the podcast on the radio station or at Connecting Caregivers Radio. And please share the information. So you guys have heard me talk about my friend Norman Mack from the UK.
Yes.
And he's been sharing more things with me. Norman has dementia, and he does a lot of things with the Purple Angel campaign in the UK, and he does a lot of things with the MP3 players for people that have dementia.
Oh, wow.
And he writes up a lot of stuff, too. And he just wrote this, and I want to share it with you. And it says, dementia alongside other illnesses. Unfortunately, recently I've succumbed to the cold virus that seems to be gripping the UK. Add that to dementia, and it's a whole different ballgame. It's bad enough having hallucinations and seeing things that aren't there without having a high temperature, banging headache, and all noises being amplified even louder than normal. With dementia, all noises and visible actions can be distorted in the most horrible ways. They become louder and bigger. All around you sometimes, it just spins so fast. All you hear are sounds that you can barely recognize. You can't quite make out what you see. And that, to having the flu or a really bad cold, is a very heady mix. It's hard enough for carers to figure out something, sometimes what's going on, or try to, or find out how the person with dementia is feeling at the best of times without the coughs and colds. But for the person with dementia, who probably has depression as well, it sometimes feels like it's the end of days. I'm sorry, I know that sounds dramatic, but speaking personally, when all these things are compounded into one, it's the worst feeling in the world. You can see no way out of it. High temperature, hallucinations, coughing, feeling so rough, hearing things, seeing things, and still so confused at what's going on can bring even the strongest person to their knees. I'm not ashamed to say, when I have been at my lowest, I have begged for permanent sleep during these times. You can see no way out. You can't imagine what it feels like to be better, or see any better days ahead, and if you do, you still know that the cold flu may go away, but the dementia won't. I have not written this because I feel sorry for myself, but to hopefully help others to understand how people like myself feel when another illness kicks in, so you can all be aware of it. Hope this helps. Norms.
It's amazing that he can write like that.
It is amazing.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
He's an amazing man.
That's incredible.
And we're going to talk about him again in a little bit, but we have our caller on the phone, so we want to tune right back in. So, welcome.
Hi, how are you all this afternoon?
Joyful and grateful. How are you?
Amen. Same.
We're so excited that you're on the show today. I was just telling our listeners that, well, first of all, if I read your whole bio, it would take up the whole show. Because you are a busy woman. So Dr. LaJoyce Brookshire is, as she says, God's girl. She's a New York Times best-selling author, a doctor of naturopathy, a master herbalist, a serious XM show host. Her show is Ask the Good Doctor. She's got a bunch of books. So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We're so excited that you're here today. You're also a caregiver too, right?
I am. I'm a hospice chaplain.
Okay.
Yes. I've actually just taken a pause due to compassion fatigue.
Oh, I get it.
Yes, I know you do.
Yeah. So let's start, though. You had a career in the entertainment industry, and you were a publicist to Little Biggie, Whitney Houston, and Toni Braxton, and then a New York Times best-selling author, which is something that I aspire to. But how did you become a naturopathic doctor?
You know, in high school, a girl in my class, Cindy Rogers, who actually lives in Florida now, she gave a speech in our speech class, a persuasive speech on why you should become a vegetarian.
Okay.
And she had all of the charts and bells and whistles and how long it takes meat to digest in the system. And I left that class and went to the lunchroom and had a grilled cheese sandwich on rye. And that night I went home and announced that I was going to become a vegetarian. And my mother said, help yourself, there's some salad in the refrigerator. And so I then went to get a job at GNC, back when GNC had groceries.
Oh, wow.
We're talking in the late 70s, 80s, or early 80s. And I worked there until I went to college. And by the time I got to college, I was so educated and informed. And I had boxes of supplements, and I was known like as the campus healer. And I would whip you up something nasty, and send you on your way, tell you to go lay down, and you would be able to do your track meet the next day, take that test, and
I
not
love
go
it.
To health stuff. So yeah, that's how I became interested. So I've been an unofficial healer in my village for a number of years. And I decided to get serious about it much later in my life, and actually after my entertainment career.
Well, it's just so important. You know, we're all living so much longer than we've ever done before, and I want to be my best I can be.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what infuriates me is the people who choose to live poorly. And you know, I'm going to die from something. I may as well die happy. I think that is the most foolish statement ever stated. And because it's at the expense of others taking care of you.
Yeah, oh, that's, yeah, there's a point there. Mm-hmm. Well, they're saying, somebody said to me the other day that my daughter's generation, so my daughter's like 38, 39, that generation is not going to live as long as our generation because of all the fast food. Do you believe that?
I would have to concur if they succumb to drive-through as a steady diet.
Right.
And what they're doing is they have a steady diet of junk.
Right.
And processed foods. And even the vegetarians and those who claim to be vegetarian and those who claim to be vegans in that age group, they're on also a steady diet of junk. I know many of them who don't have vegetables in their view, yet they're claiming to be vegetarian and
right.
vegan. And surely you can have a bowl of Frosted Flakes and pour Coca-Cola on top of it, and that is a vegan meal.
But I might change.
It is. And I think that people are just enamored with the cachet of saying that they're vegan and vegetarian, mm-hmm. and that's something trendy.
Yeah.
But I'll have to tell you, my sickest patients are those who are vegan and vegetarian because they are not consuming vegetarian. And they're also consuming a lot of food stuff.
Yeah.
You know, things that are masquerading as food. For instance, the poured eggs or the egg substitutes.
Right.
And I always challenge people to say, well, you know, let's look at each ingredient. Let's look at each multisyllabic ingredient.
Right. Right.
One by one. And my goodness, you'd be better off if you ate the egg.
Yeah. Yeah. It's and I think, and there's also the point of everything in moderation. People get so overboard with one thing, it's not good.
I agree with that. I and I won't say everything in moderation because there's some things.
Yeah, some things are poison.
Touch.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. And I was recounting a story the other day. My girlfriend said she had pig feet for New Year's because she just had to. And I went, oh, my God. And I just remember my grandmother. There's a photo of me in, you know, a T-shirt and my baby panties, you know, probably at 2 or 3 years old. And I have a pig feet knuckle in my hand. And I'm trying with intensity to shove it in my mouth. And they captured this photograph. It's a black and white picture to show you how old it is. And I just think, oh, my gosh. And my grandmother used to always say that I loved pig feet as a child. And she used to always tell me, and when you get married, forget the caterer. I'm going to have pig feet.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
And I just had to laugh at that because it's absolutely something I will not even touch today.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Very interesting. So, all right. So, also, so as we talked a little bit before, that you've been a hospice chaplain and a caregiver as well. So, what's your advice for caregivers to maintain their balance while taking care of the caregiver? Because, you know, that's the reason I have this show, because caregivers are dying before the people they're taking care of.
That's correct. See it every day. Yeah. My best advice would be for them to definitely put the life mask on themselves first,
right,
just as we are instructed to do on the plane. But it's very difficult to do when they don't have support. And sadly, the caregiver is the one who has been tapped in the family to be the caregiver, who's been named as the caregiver, or who has the empathetic compassion to even step into that role, and they're the one.
Or the one that even wants to.
And they're the ones who've laid everything aside so that the rest of the family can live while they're dying, basically,
right,
a slow death. And I would say the first thing that they have to do is they must put their foot down with their family members, if they have them, about rotating care and rotating in themselves in and out, that they can get respite. And respite is vitally important, and to sign up for services and to tap into the Office on Aging
To tap into the neighborhood and your friends at church who ask you
absolutely.
The time, can you, they help you, and you
can
say no to them.
That's correct. And that would be the first thing that I would say, and I would insist that they maintain something in their lives which brings them joy.
Right. Yeah. Most definitely.
And what I used to do for my caregivers, all of the patients, and I used to be able to stay with the patient for at least 2 hours, I would encourage them at least once a month to let our office know that they can string along visits. So the social worker can stay for 2 hours, the CNA can stay for two hours, the chaplain can stay for 2 hours, and that we will string our visits together one behind the other. But if you give us a couple of days notice, we can make that happen. And I don't care if you go in your room and close your door and go to sleep and take a bubble bath and go to sleep. I want you out of sight.
Yeah.
And you know, they never thought about that, but when they started doing it, oh my goodness, were they grateful.
They're always, when they finally, you know, I say the caregivers have the triple A dilemma. They don't ask for help, they don't accept help, and they don't acknowledge themselves. When they finally turn that around, they're like, oh my goodness. And many times the person who's being cared for is like, oh my goodness, because, you know, I needed a break from them too.
Mm-hmm. Hello. Absolutely. That would be the truth. And, you know, one time I rescued a caregiver from the home. I say that I extracted her. I extracted her from her home because when she told me she had not left the house in 3 months, I was like, next Thursday, you're leaving here.
Yeah.
You're, get dressed. We're going. She said, where are we going? I said, I'm not really sure yet, but we are out of here and I'm taking you to lunch. And I took her to lunch. We spent the entire afternoon out of the house. I got a volunteer from the organization to stay with the patient. And this woman was renewed by an afternoon.
Oh, I'm telling you. Recently we had at a local place here, Palm Garden, we had a caregiver spa day. And we invited caregivers and we gave them a manicure, a massage, chocolate-covered strawberries, you know. just all these wonderful things. And I had to pull them by the teeth to get them to come.
But then they loved
it. Oh, every single one was like, oh, thank you, Linda. You know?
Absolutely. And sometimes we have to take it to them. I had one who, one woman who was, you know, always complaining that her hair wasn't as it should, and she was completely gray because she hadn't gotten any color in months, and she was always wearing beautiful scarves. She was always beautifully done, and she's used to, you know, keeping herself well made, and she looked down at her nails and complained, and when she said, I can't even look at myself in the mirror, I went to work. I put together a whole, everything that you just said, and I brought it to her because I knew she wouldn't leave the house.
Yeah, and people so want to help.
Mm-hmm.
They're glad. Thank because you. Many times, not intentionally, the caregiver isolates themselves by saying no to everybody. They isolate themselves and their loved one.
Which is exactly why I love that you said making them get out of the house. I've had volunteers before where they've been like, we're going to go shopping. I know you said you needed a new shirt and some things, and taking them out reluctantly. And then weeks later being like, well, aren't we going to go shopping this week?
Yeah.
Exactly. And I think that it's excellent for the psyche also for them to be able to see something else other than those four walls that they see. And what I see is that even after the patient dies, that that they are still in that rut because now they don't know how to ingratiate themselves back into their society again. Well, and because they know that they have intentionally isolated so many people that they don't want, they know that they have a lot of patching up to do and they may not have the energy.
Well, it's a whole healing thing they have to do. I mean, I don't know if this is true, but I heard recently a study said that if you've been taking care of somebody full time for a long period of time, when they pass away, it can take, for the caregiver, it can take up to 2 years for their immune system to get back to where it should be.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because, you know, you have to understand, as a caregiver, you're an empathetic person. And so, by and large, if you're not maintaining a balance in a daily life, a normal life, then you can really, by osmosis, feel some of the things that the person is feeling who you're caring for.
Because most of us take care of people we deeply love.
Oh, yes. I took care of my first husband until he died.
Yeah.
And but I made it a point. I exhausted myself with a master calendar of professional help and family and friends who rotated in and out. Amongst the professional help to care for him while I worked I was working in the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
Because if I didn't bring home a check, we were going to lose everything we had.
Exactly.
And let me tell you something. It was a walk in the park to do the work that I was doing instead of being at home.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. Exactly. All right, so let's go on a little further. So you did all that caregiving. And you know what you said, too, about taking a little break from the hospice chaplain. I had to take a break from some of my support groups. I was doing a lot of support groups. I'm only doing a couple of months now because it is weary. It's very weary. And I know that I have to take care of me or I can't help anybody else.
That's very true.
So tell me about your radio show.
Oh, my gosh. Ask the Good Doctor on SiriusXM Urban View. Channel 126. I've been on for a little more than a year now. I've just been renewed for another year.
Good.
And I help people attain, maintain, and reclaim their perfect health through things of the mind, body, and spirit. And we have various healers and helpers on the show to help with that, with their people's wellness journey. In fact, we are going to be starting a Healthy New You program, inviting listeners to lay down the weight, the W-E-I-G-H-T, not just physical weight, but mind, body, and soul weight. And because this is the year that we have to lay it all down people will find themselves in precarious situations and their health is going to suffer. And we don't want that to happen, especially for things that are preventable. And people are not really familiar with the emotional body connection. And it's very real.
Yes. It's
doing a lot of education on that.
That's wonderful. And you'll keep me apprised of things that are going on, and I'll keep my listeners apprised and the people on my website are going on, because that's all really good stuff. I think that's really important. And tell me about your new book, The Detox Addiction Remix for the Healthy New You.
Yes, that will be coming out in 2 weeks. It's just a small little pamphlet, 30 pages, very easy read, and 7 easy steps about detoxification for the body and how necessary and important it is. And it will be available through Amazon.com. It will be an ebook, a Kindle book, as well as a hard copy. So everyone can grab a hold of that. It would be the second book in my Ask the Good Doctor book series.
Well, tell us about all three of them.
The first one is the cookbook, Yes, You Are What You Eat.
Mm-hmm.
Recipes to Enhance Your Wellness Journey. That is available exclusively at askthegooddoctor.org.
Okay.
It is 103 family recipes that have been remixed, I love that word,
yeah,
into healthier versions.
Oh, yes.
Because people are always complaining that they don't know how to cook and they don't know what ingredients to use. They
right.
don't know what to buy. And I'm thinking, you know what? We need education in this area. There are too many people who say that they don't. So I'm
right.
here to help. And through that also, the other one is the Ask the Good Doctor Prevention and Restoration Edition, and that one will be released following the Good Doctor Remix. I did another version of the Detox Edition about 8 years ago, and now I'm remixing the Detox Edition with updates and my favorite supplements that I am listing also in there, which are good doctor approved products.
That's wonderful. Well, Dr. Yes. LaJoyce, I am so glad that you called in today, and I know you have patients there with you today.
I do.
But I want to keep in touch. I'd like you to come back on the show again. What's the last tip you would like to give our caregivers?
I'm sorry, say that again?
What's the last tip you would like to give our caregivers?
I would say, don't forget to take care of yourself mm-hmm. first.
Yep, that's
you
it.
You first, every single day. Carve time out of your day to do something for you.
Perfect.
That's what I would say. And I would like everybody to subscribe to my YouTube channel at Ask the Good Doctor LaJoyce Brookshire, and follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Ask the Good Doc and Ask the Good Doctor.
And thank your you website so again is askthegooddoctor.org, right?
.org. Yes, right.
Okay, and all the information will be on my website. Thank you so much, Doctor. We'll talk again soon.
Appreciate you. Bye-bye.
Have a delicious day. Okay, now we need to hear from our most wonderful partners and sponsors, because you know how it goes. If we don't hear from them, you don't hear from me. So don't go away.
The first shock came when my dad was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. But even more terrible was the realization that Mom wasn't going to be able to care for him on her own. I struggled through sleepless nights and was completely overwhelmed with sadness and anxiety as the disease progressed. Mom could no longer cope with Dad's sudden mood swings and the changes in behavior on her own. In different ways, they both needed help. Then I called Assisting Hands, and I'm so thankful for them. So is my mom. Once again, we both have peace of mind.
Alzheimer's and dementia are devastating diseases, not only for the patients, but for their closest family members. At Assisting Hands, we understand these geriatric disorders, and our staff can provide personalized home care support services that will allow for more freedom to the spouse and family during the transition stages of the disease. Please call Assisting Hands today at 813-280-4838 for your personal in-home consultation at no cost. When you can't do it all,
give Assisting Hands a call. Serving Pinellas and Pasco counties, call them today at 813-280-4838. That's 813-280-4838. Let them help you out.
Remember how you felt when you were a child? Your body was full of life and vital energy. You were healthy. St. Petersburg chiropractor Dr. Colette Chesko has been helping people to recapture that youthful vitality through chiropractic care for the past 13 years. And she's been helping me personally for the past 3 years. Not every chiropractor provides the same type of services. As a chiropractor specializing in corrective care, which is restoring the proper alignment of the spine, not just treating symptoms, Dr. Collette provides patients with a variety of services in addition to chiropractic adjustments, including acupuncture, nutrition, and massage. By using these natural methods, she helps patients of all ages restore their health without using drugs or surgery. The most cost-effective way to achieve health is to maintain good health. Once you have reached your goals, she will help you stay there and feel better for good. So give her a call. Dr. Collette Chesko at Gentle Touch Chiropractor and Wellness Center in St. Petersburg. That's at 727-235-3265. I know you will feel better.
When I first met you, Linda, I was a mess. My dad's dementia, especially the daily stress and agitation, was causing our whole family stress, even losing caregivers repeatedly. Thankfully, someone had suggested we try hemp-infused coconut oil daily. We couldn't believe it. Almost immediately, we noticed a difference, and so did the caregivers. Today, he smiles more. Our family and caregivers do, too. He sleeps better and is a calmer person. It took a long time for us to find a quality CBD product we felt comfortable giving Dad. That's why I started CR World, a company dedicated to providing quality hemp products rich in CBD for seniors and their families, driven by education.
Collette, you really look like a different person. Happier, healthier, and smiling. I'm so happy about that. So for our listeners to find out how CBD is making a difference safely and naturally, you can go to www.comecrworld.com/caregivers. That's comecrworld.com/caregivers, and you can order yours today.
I see trees of green,
red roses too.
I see them blue
for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Okay, caregivers, now it's time for the caregiver affirmation. Take a minute. Take a deep breath. Sit down. Close your eyes if possible and just listen to these words. I know on my journey there is help and hope. I affirm that I am a good caregiver, that I try my best each day, and I recognize that I deserve to have my own needs met just as much as those for whom I care. I promise I will not allow myself to be consumed by my caregiving role, and I will set aside time in my busy schedule just for me. I am mindful of the other caregivers in my life, and I will let them know that I appreciate their efforts. I am grateful for the people that walk beside me. I will take good care of my own health physically and spiritually, drink enough water, eat quality foods, allow for time to rest and to exercise, laugh often, if only at myself, and seek medical attention for my own health concerns. I am who I am, and I allow others to be who they are. Today I will add one item to my assisting angels list. Then if someone calls to say, let me know if there's something I can do, I will be ready to accept their offer and provide them with the opportunity to assist me. It is an honor to be of service of others, and I will not deny my friends and family this honor. Okay, think about it, caregivers.
Yeah, caregivers, think about that, you know, and it all boils down to, again, taking care of yourself. But there's that one line in that affirmation that says, I am who I am, and I allow others to be who they are. And people have said to me that that really helped them get through the holidays in their caregiving experience when family was coming to visit, mm-hmm. or when different things. So sometimes you just got to center yourself and get to where you need to be, and you can't really, because then you'll be better than if you're trying to deal with what everybody else is.
Yeah, you have to take care of yourself before you can take care of anything around you.
Yeah, which is really hard to understand for caregivers.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, Felicia, you're new to Pinellas County.
I am.
Welcome. And just like Seasons Hospice is new to Pinellas County.
Exactly.
Which is very wonderful. And I didn't realize until recently that it's like hospice is like federally regulated or something. They have to tell us about that.
Well, I mean, I won't be able to speak too much about that.
No, but just why you're here. Why is Seasons Hospice here?
So Seasons is here. There was a greater need in Pinellas County than what was being met, meaning that federally they're like, there are more patients, and so we need another hospice here.
Right.
So
because this is Pinellas
County. Surprise.
Yeah. And so Seasons came in spring of 2018, so we're fairly new to the area, but we're not new. The organization itself has been around since 1997. We're in 18 different states, and we are the fifth largest hospice in the nation.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize you were that big. That's very interesting. So the Seasons Hospice here, what area do you serve here?
We serve all of Pinellas County. We also have an office in Tampa that looks over Hillsborough County.
Oh, so Hillsborough also. Yeah. Oh, well, that's very cool. That's very cool. So how does, you know what, let's talk a little bit about how hospice supports caregivers, because hospice is a dirty word.
Hospice is a very dirty word. It's definitely got a stigma about it.
It's like hospice death.
Exactly. Well, and it's not. Hospice is about life, and people are like, what are you talking about? But hospice means, you know, hospice comes from the word hospice, so it means hospitality, so that's the root word. So we are there to provide comfort at the end of life and dignity with death. And so in that way, we do give life. We try to give you the best life that we can at the end of your life. And with caregivers in particular, you know, you think of hospice and it's so much for the patient, but really we're there sometimes even more for the caregivers.
When it gets to that point.
Exactly. And when a patient comes on a hospice, they have access to an amazing team that will work with them. So they have access to our physician, they get an RN case manager, they have a home health aide, a chaplain, a music therapist, and if they want, they can have a volunteer and a social worker. I almost forgot a really important role here. And the volunteer is, you know, if they want it. And the great thing is, too, they can say, you know what, I don't really need a home health aide, or I don't need to see a chaplain or a music therapist. They can kind of
tailor it to what they want.
Yeah, exactly. And so they're able to
like progressive.
Exactly.
But I suggest that everybody, before you say no to something, just check it out, because I'm telling you, my chaplain that I had with when my mom was in hospice, I don't, Buddy Doyle, if you're listening, I don't know what I would have done without him.
Oh, and that's one thing I love about hospice, is that we don't only just look at like the physical care, but we look at emotional and spiritual.
Right.
And that's why the chaplain is there. Yeah. Because at the end of life, we may have some spiritual distress. Our chaplains don't belong to one organized religion or belief system. They are, you know, they're well versed in a variety.
Yeah.
And they work with you where you're at. And if we can't meet that, then we work with people in the community to give you what you need on that level.
You know, and my mom had some Roman Catholic issues, when she was dying, and he came in and visited us before she went into the hospice facility when she was at home, and he built a relationship with my mother, mm-hmm. you know, over a couple of weeks, and you know, one day he said to me, "She's ready, Linda." Spiritually.
Oh, it's
and I was just like, oh my goodness.
It's incredible how much, and if anyone has been with anyone at the end of their life, you can see that some patients accept death once they know that it's happening, and some it takes a little bit longer, but when they decide like we're ready, you see that they will quickly, usually they'll pass.
Be ready.
It's incredible.
Well, I think you have something that, because I've seen so many, I haven't seen so many deaths, but I've seen some, and other people tell me about them and everything, but lots of times I think the person kind of knows when they're going to die. I don't know how they know. Like,
I know.
I don't want this daughter in the room when I'm dying, but I know this daughter needs to be here, or I don't want any of my kids
exactly.
here. And then as soon as they leave, they die.
They go.
Or, you know.
We have had caregivers in particular who have been like, I was with Dad every day for the last 6 months, and the one time I leave to go home and take a shower, he passed
That's
away.
That's what happened with me.
And we say, you know, a lot of times, don't know the control, we're still alive, but we don't know that patient might have been like, I don't want to die in front of my daughter.
Right.
I don't want to, you know, exactly. I don't want to give them that memory.
Right.
And it's incredible to think about, because I can't even process that, knowing that that's coming.
Right.
Or understanding that.
Right.
But we see and hear that with patients all the time, everywhere.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
It's incredible. I was going to mention, too, another way that, you know, I love hospice. I've been with hospice for 5 years here in Pinellas and in Colorado. And our team really works with the caregivers, and one way that we support them is through our social workers. So they're all trained in end-of-life issues. So the social worker there is to assist with the dying process. They educate the caregiver on what to expect. They provide counseling, grief services, And they also can help them locate community resources, respite services, and help them with advanced directives.
Do you do grief support groups after the death?
You know, that is something that we're going to do in the future because okay. we are new. We're still kind of growing. But because we don't do them right now doesn't mean that we can't help you locate those resources.
Oh, yeah, because you know what? You guys work with Empath Hospice. You work mm-hmm. with every. We all work together in
we
this
all
community.
We're all kind of doing the same yeah. thing. The one great thing that we do, though, through our bereavement services, from the time of death up to a year after the death, we stay in contact with the family. And so we still offer that companionship counseling conversation. That can be done by the phone, can be done by email. It can even be done by postal mail, whatever works best. But we don't say, oh, I'm sorry, your loved one died.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Yeah. No, right. we understand that, you know, as a caregiver, when that death happens, you still carry all that weight of emotion and depth. And we want to help you and support
and
you
as best as we
can. And
you carry for quite a while.
We do.
You know, I that was the first support group I ever went to in my life was when my mom passed away. And it was a specific support group for women who had lost their moms.
Oh, wow.
So that was kind of cool.
Oh, yeah.
But to be surrounded once again with people that were going through the same thing as me. We all lost our moms. And it was really weird because if there was 15 women in the group, 9 of us, our mothers were born in Brooklyn.
Oh,
you know, everybody from New York comes to Florida.
I've realized that.
Yeah. But it was a really big, you know, it was a wonderful, wonderful thing.
And it's important to be with people who understand what loss you're going through. And I was going to mention, too, one thing that people don't know. We offer bereavement services to anyone outside of hospice. So you do not need to be connected to Seasons Hospice. You do not have to have a loved one in order to receive our bereavement
That's
services.
That's good to know.
So that's anyone really, that's experiencing grief and needs bereavement services, feel free to call our office.
That's very good. And where would they call your office?
Our number is 727-280-9800.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the Legacy program.
Yes. So Legacy, so I came from another hospice, and I was really interested in Seasons for one particular reason, because most hospices, we do a lot of the same things, but some go above and beyond. We have what we call our Legacy program, and so our legacy projects are a way for us to capture life stories, lessons, sentiments, memories, and traditions of our loved ones. So it helps our families convey what remaining generations we want them to know and
right.
carry on.
Because when it goes, it goes.
When it goes, it goes. I mean, I don't know. I couldn't tell you anything about my Italian heritage. I just know that they didn't like each other very much, and we don't talk about it.
You know, it's very interesting, though. 8 years ago, my son-in-law died. And his mom is now coming to see my granddaughter. And my granddaughter said, I don't know if my dad was ever on a ball team. I don't know what my dad's favorite ice cream was. Because
no.
he died very young and she hasn't seen her grandmother. I said, make the list, honey, of the questions you want to ask.
That's yeah. pretty special for a 16-year-old to feel that.
Yeah, and to yeah. want to know that. And so yeah. we have a variety of legacy projects that we do with the family. And they're all usually catered individually to what this person is and was. But there's also general things that we do. And I think why I think this is so important is because as a caregiver, as any of you have been a caregiver, you know, in the midst of everything going on, the last thing you're thinking about.
Oh, right. I have time to hang out and write down
yeah,
things.
Is to write down things or take a video or maybe compile right. a scrapbook or do a variety of things. But our team can come in and say, what about legacy? And here's what we can do.
And that gives the caregiver a break, too, because
and it does.
They're helping create
that.
That
for your mother.
And they can, yeah. yeah.
And it's important. It's one of the, you know, I had somebody interview my mother the last 6 months of her life. So the day of my mother's memorial, the woman brings me 10 CDs of my mother.
Oh.
You know, singing the silly little songs when I was a kid. What a gift that is. And I never got to have that with my dad. My dad had the strokes and he couldn't talk after that. You know, I tell my grandchildren, they're going to hear from me.
Oh, my goodness.
From the end of time.
They're going to give them a stack.
They're going to be like, enough for her.
We just got to put up a statue of you now.
There you go.
No, but that's really, I think that's really important. And tell me about some of the other things you've been doing. I saw on Facebook the other day, you did like a tea or explain to us about that stuff.
Yeah.
Because death doesn't have to be so horrible.
No. We have...
Except for the one who's dying.
Sometimes I think it's worse for the caregiver than for the person who died.
I would agree. So I'll come back and talk a little bit about legacy because there's some great things I want to share with you. But okay. we do have something called I Wish, and we grant wishes for our patients at the end of their life. So we really work with them on, you know, what would you like to do before you die, or, you know, is there something that
like
you want to see?
Like a bucket list.
Exactly. I can tell you a few things that we've done recently
yeah.
that I think are really great. One, we had a patient that passed away a few months ago, and he was pretty much homebound. And he would often complain to the team that, you know, he wanted to go outside. And then he talked about, I'd just like to have dinner one last time at my favorite restaurant.
Yeah.
Like, that would mean so much to me.
A simple little thing like that.
Simple little thing. And so we coordinated with the restaurant. We got him a large table. We brought in family and his close friends. We all picked him up in a limo and took him out to dinner. And yeah, and it was great. And while I was there, I do photography and I do some videography. I taped it, some things, and took pictures and was able to put him in a collage and give him to the family to keep afterwards.
That makes me want to cry.
Oh, how nice.
And he actually passed away, I think it was within the next week. I mean, he went pretty quickly after that dinner. Yeah.
And you picked him up in a limousine?
We picked the family up in a limousine. He had a wheelchair, so we had to pick him up in a train. Yeah, but we picked up the entire family in the road in a limousine, so I was getting pictures of them getting out. And
I'm going to pick you up in a Volkswagen go through McDonald's.
Woo! One that we did recently that I loved was we had two patients that wanted to go fishing one last time. And so we took them on a deep sea fishing excursion in Hermosa, and we had Captain Carey, and he was with Southern Slam Outfitters, and Fish and Dogfish Tackle gave some gear, but we took them out for a day of fishing. And I took video footage of that, and it was incredible. They had so much fun. The gentleman that went didn't catch any fish, but our female patient did. We saw some dolphins, saw a little shark. And I actually, from the tape that I made them a DVD, and I gave it to each of them. So that's something that
that's
the
lovely
family, that they can watch while they're still alive.
Right.
But then the patient's families can watch afterwards and still
see. Well, see what you're saying, too, about watching when you're still alive. So we all know that my husband is ill, but last April was his 70th birthday. Mm-hmm. So I had a big party for him, and it wasn't a birthday party, right, Tom? It was just a celebration. And so I had a video made from about his life, mm-hmm, from birth to now, with like 5 songs and whatever. And because he always said to me, Linda, I always like when people make that for people when you go to a memorial, but I would like to see it.
Right. I mean, I would too, to be quite honest.
That's
what,
and like,
we had so much fun conversation with it. Oh, remember that. Oh, remember this. You know, it was, and we played it at the birthday party where he could be there to talk about it.
And sometimes from those moments, you get more stories than you wouldn't get otherwise.
Right.
So that's what's really important. We've done a tea party. We're getting ready to do an ice cream social for a patient. I really want to go back and tell you a little bit about Legacy.
Okay,
about projects.
We got to give me. Just let us hear from our sponsors, and then we'll come back.
I guess.
Because you know what it is. If we don't hear from our sponsors,
and
you don't hear from us.
We appreciate you.
So don't go away. We'll be right back, guys.
Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia and Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize each individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, the goal is to make your loved one as comfortable and as independent and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming, with a unique setting of a home-like environment and 4 themed houses. It warms my heart when I visit there and see how joyful the residents are. Please call or stop by to talk to a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole is at 727-517-7800, or you can reach them in Largo at 727-559-8411. You'll be glad you did. VoxLife realizes that people of all ages and walks of life are focused on wellness and optimal performance. Wellness consumers are looking for products that will enhance the quality of life and are asking for natural, safe solutions for more energy, pain relief, and enhanced mobility. Well, VoxLife is the answer. VoxLife has harnessed the power of neuroscience and neuroactivation and spent 6 years developing HPT. HPT instantly improves the user's strength, energy, stability, balance, and range of motion while providing natural pain relief. And this is done so easily with their socks and insoles at a very affordable price. I know when I go to the gym, I can see the difference immediately when I have my VoxLife socks on. And they also have helped many of my caregivers and their families. For more information, go to voxlife.com/caregivers. They've helped me and they can help you too. That's www.voxlife.com/caregivers.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
From the Sunshine State, this is Tampa Bay's TAN Talk.
And you know, when you hear those horns, it's time for you to get your pen and paper, because Lynn's got good stuff to tell you, right, Lynn?
I have a lot of good stuff,
yeah,
all
you
in
do.
January.
All right.
On January 16th, from 9:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. in Beverly Hills, Florida, is the 5th annual Coping with Dementia Caregivers Conference.
Yeah.
Lunch will be provided. Seats are limited, so RSVP to 352-422-3663. Then on January 21st, from 10:30 to noon, at the Lutheran Church of the Palms in Palm Harbor, is a special educational event for caring for someone with dementia or Alzheimer's. Please RSVP to 727-733-6537. Taking you all over the county,
yeah,
eh?
And guys, remember, knowledge is power, and these events are free.
Yes. All right, and then on January 22nd, from 8:30 to 3, at St. Paul United Methodist Church in Largo, is Senior Empowerment Day featuring author Bobby Lewis. To RSVP, call 800-211-4292.
That's going to be a great day. You don't have to go for the entire day. You can go for as little as long as you want. And I will be speaking that day, I think, around 1 o'clock, and we'll be talking about creating a purpose for your loved one.
Great. All right. Then on January 24th, from 9:30 until noon at St. Francis Cabrini Church in Spring Hill, is a dementia care seminar. Gary LeBlanc and our Linda Burhans will be the featured speakers. To reserve your seat, RSVP to United Way at 352-688-2026. We're going from county to county.
Oh, my God. I'm getting around, too. And that is going to be a great... If you haven't heard Gary LeBlanc speak, never mind me. Come hear Gary LeBlanc speak. He knows his stuff on Alzheimer's and dementia. You will learn a lot of ways that will just help you on your journey and taking care of your loved one. And he called me this morning to tell me about another event that I'm going to be involved in. And it is March 8th and 9th. It's called the Alzheimer's Music Fest. So there's going to be all sorts of cool bands there. Sonic Stew, Solar Exposure, Stone Gray. And all the proceeds is going to go for respite care for caregivers.
Oh.
So Skipper's Smokehouse is going to be there. Renstar is going to be doing some free memory screening. So on the 8th, on March 8th, there is going to be all educational events. And it's at Heritage Hall of Lake Madeline United Methodist Church from 10 to 2 in Tampa. And I'll give you more information about this. And then on the next day, the 9th, will be the Alzheimer's Music Fest on March 9th at Skipper's Smokehouse. So there's going to be great dementia and caregiving specialist speakers throughout the event both days. And then there's going to be a lot of fun.
Skipper's Smokehouse, my sister loves that place.
And Gary was telling me this morning that with the sponsors they have so far, every penny from here on in is going for respite care.
Oh, that's amazing.
And that respite care is so huge. And I don't think we think about it. Let's have a fun day.
Exactly.
And raise some money for Alzheimer's. I mean, I love the Alzheimer's walk, but it gets a little boring. If we can be there with a bunch of rocking bands and you can bring your loved one.
Right, and have some fun with some good food.
And I'm sure there'll be respite care available and things like that. So
that's incredible.
So think about it, guys. All right, because we don't have a lot of time, I want you to tell me the last things you want to tell me.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit more about our legacy projects. I got so excited about our I Wishes, but our legacy projects, we do thumbprint jewelry and keychains with the patients and family. That's taking the thumbprint and creating a necklace or a keychain.
Oh,
so
like your dog.
With them.
Yeah.
We do hand mold. So I'd had two patients on our service in St. Pete that had been together since they were teenagers.
Aww.
And so we did a hand mold. And in the hand mold, you can see every wrinkle and ring. And, like, it's something
life
that she can keep. Exactly. And we do memory bears, audio prints, photo and video projects, recordable books. We do personalized projects. We've done cookbooks and scrapbooks. Even some patients at other offices, you know, had written a poem or a song and someone helped them put it to life. I wanted to tell you a few things that we've done here that I thought were really special. We had a 36-year-old in our service recently.
Oh, my goodness.
And he had a couple young children, and him and his wife really wanted to do something for them that they could have because they're young. And so we recorded a video message, and that was probably one of the hardest things I've had to do. But we recorded this message where he got to say how he felt about them and that he loved them and his wishes. And that was so important for me because those kids forevermore, even though they might not remember him, they get to see his face, they get to hear his voice and hear his words and wishes for them. And I just thought that was so amazing. That was one of the times where I like had to pinch myself as I was working with them so I wouldn't break down. It was so hard. Another female patient that we had, you know, she had 5 grandchildren and was really sad that she wasn't going to be there for the life events of these grandchildren. And they were young, too. They're starting, I think, from 5 to 10 or something. And so a volunteer worked with her and helped her write cards for each of their, like, birthdays up to 30, like, their 30th birthday. They did a wedding card. Congrats on your first baby, graduations. And so now
what a great idea.
So those kids, you know, forever will still be able to have a piece of grandma.
Oh, could you imagine that? Imagine that your grandma's passed away and 5 years later you get married and you still get a wedding card from her.
Yeah. And so it's, those are the things that for me, that's when I say hospice. It's not just about pain and symptom
management.
It's about love. It's about love and it's about life. We have this thing in our office where we say love in action, and that's how we live every day. Love in action. How can we put love into action?
What a great job you have.
Yeah.
But Seasons Hospice only hires wonderful people.
That's right.
You got Daphne, too.
Daphne's awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to be on their board soon, too. Their advisor.
They made
We're lucky to have you.
God, I'm like weeping here.
I know.
But it's, you know, because I'm thinking maybe I need to do some of this stuff with Tom. So think about things out there, you know, make those memories, get those voices where you still can get those voices. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you what it means to me when I'm having a tough day and I put a CD and my mom starts laughing.
You get to hear,
Yeah, my mom starts laughing. I'm like, get over it, Linda.
Yeah. And if you feel overwhelmed and can't do that yourself, don't be afraid to ask other people to help you.
Right. Right. Well, that was even like when I was making the video for the party.
Yeah.
So I would ask my daughter and my granddaughter to come over and help me pick out pictures. And they would come over, and we'd go through one album and cry for 3 hours. Remember that? Remember this? No, well, it's months are passing, and I have to get this ready for the party. Yeah. So Lynn comes over one day. Okay, you got 20 minutes each album. No talking, no telling stories.
You need
no
a Lynn time. On you. Yeah. Come on, we got to get
and
it.
We did it.
We did it all that afternoon.
Yeah.
But how healing and wonderful for you to do that.
And it was great.
That's a process, too. So.
It was all it was all a really good thing, but I couldn't do it by myself.
No.
I couldn't do it.
And we can't.
That's why I'm so glad I have Lynn. I'm just very blessed, blessed. Okay. Yeah, so do that kind of stuff. So, all right, enough of this because I don't want to cry anymore. we can do this. Please, next week we have Jen Moyer from Vox Ox. You know how I love those Vox Ox.
And we love Jen, too.
And we love Jen.
Hi, Jen in Canada.
And she's not going to be able to be here live. She's having some issues with her dad. She's having some healing issues, so we're sending prayers to Daddy-O, as she calls him.
I love that.
And she's going to call in. And then we'll have Dr. Q, Dr. Thomas Quinlan from Healthy Lifestyles Tampa Bay. And, you know, he's
the best.
So thanks so much for tuning in today. I know how precious your time is, and it means a lot to me that you tune in and that you continue to do that. Please like us on Facebook. We look forward to spending time with you again next week. Remember, God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day.
And you need a brighten up even your darkest night. You just call.